CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by HP and Bosch Software Innovations. Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjog All. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Now, here's Sunjog All.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. And as always, we invite you to join the discussion on Twitter, hashtag CTRLive, and look for this show as hashtag CIO. Today's topic is the 2015 to CIO agenda, and our guests for today's show are Steve Phillips, who is the CIO with Avnet. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning, Sanjog. I'm well.
Very good. Good to have you. And we also have Bill Chapman, who's the Vice President of IT Global Services with Arrow Electronics. How are you, Bill?
I'm doing very good. Thank you.
Very good. So as we round out 2014, we are using this month to talk about the new year moving forward. Last week, we asked what the CIO needs to become an all-in-one CIO who can handle the responsibilities necessary in a digital business environment. But today, we wanted to ask what all technologies and initiatives CIOs should be attuned to in 2015. Where do they need to have their ears to the ground? And how can they get out ahead of the competition and not get left behind this year? We have, and this is the first question I'll ask you, Steve, when we look at the overall trend. So we did talk about on our show in-memory computing, 3D printing, cybersecurity, Internet of Things. So if you look at this, quite a big variety. And we see quite a few trends emerging. Looks like 2014 was a year of innovation or some disruptive trends. What do you think we should expect moving forward that we are done disrupting and now let's kind of make some sense of these trends and kind of create value? Or are you expecting something else happening as well?
Well, for me as an IT leader, there are four big trends that I think are going to go mainstream in 2015. So they have certainly a lot of my attention and my team's attention. First thing is the Internet of Things. In 2012, we crossed the threshold when just over half of all Internet traffic started being generated by machines. By the end of 2013, that number was up to 61%, and we'll see as we come to the end of this year what that number is ends up at as a percentage. But I think we're all pretty sure it'll be even higher than it was in 2013. So for me, there are just more everyday devices coming into the consumer space and the workplace, like water machines, vending machines, door locks. Even door locks are getting smarter and more connected. And when I think of the Internet of Things, it needs a whole new technology stack to operate around the network, bandwidth, storage, et cetera, analytics. And CIOs need to ensure that they're getting ready for that. Second big theme for us would be mobile enablement. Although bring your own device is the norm in the enterprise today, it's really up to IT teams to maintain standards around device security, access, and oversight. And it's something that we're investing in terms of both for our customers as well as for our employees. And it's a big focus area. It has been for the last couple of years, and we're just continuing to roll that. And then thirdly, I'd say security is a big topic, and data loss prevention is an important theme for us. Unfortunately for all of us, we all saw just a lot of high-profile data breaches hit the news. And unfortunately, My opinion is we're not going to see that activity tapering off at any time soon. So security's evolved beyond trying to stay one step ahead of the bad guys with antivirus and firewalls, and the focus began shifting towards data loss prevention over the last year or so, and I just see that trend continuing even more strongly in the year ahead. Fourth one I'd offer is managing big data. So when I think of Avnet, at the end of 2013, we had just over a petabyte of data in our data center. The last time I checked, we had 1.6 petabytes, so we showed the 60% growth in the year, and we just don't see that slowing up. And the challenge with data managing big data is how do you manage all of that data and get smart, insightful business insights out of it. Also, for the IT people, there's a theme around how do you manage that sheer volume of data. And we're also making some investments there around up in our infrastructure to be able to handle just high volumes of information in the enterprise.
Now, with all of those different trends, I'll come to you, Bill. So Steve has his, of course, the agenda and the three or four mega trends that you are looking at. And I'm sure, Bill, at Arrow, there may be, you know, similar trends. I would love to hear them. But also would like to get your thoughts on that. Should these new mega trends phase us, or should we keep doing the same old, but at the same time, incrementally keeping in mind that these new trends are coming and we have to prepare so we start, you know, taking a sliver of our time and start investing towards new. What, should we kind of totally jump ship and go into the new one, or we should continue with where we are? Because these things will keep coming. We can go crazy trying to chase these.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And if you look at the Internet of Things, and then you also look at security, the two things that Steve brought up, and I agree with where, you know, where he's going with on things. But when you look at the Internet of Things, it'd be wonderful if we could rethink as a technology the security behind the Internet of Things. You know, we continue to let's say develop products and solutions in that space, but it almost needs to have an architecture behind it that envelops. You know, a security perspective that says, okay, I'm not going to have an open architecture, and then, you know, we're going to come back in at a later date and try and close this thing up. I think a lot of the architecture, especially around security and stuff, needs to be more in a dialogue of a point-to-point type of thing versus a generic open architecture. And I think some of these megatrends need to kind of think about the foundation of how they're evolving, right, so that in the end, it can be adopted much more readily because, you know, the core is valid and it doesn't create, you know, let's say secondary issues for the environments that the IT guys are trying to create.
Now, coming back to you, Steve, so you did mention these four technologies or areas in which you would be looking at investing. What are you doing with respect to, you know, breaking them out where we say we will do the status quo on these X areas and then we will try to get some incremental investment going into the new areas? Because you mentioned for Internet of Things, for example, if you adopt it, it requires a totally new stack. Do you think you have the appetite for that, or does the business have the appetite for that?
Well, I think there's two perspectives that you need to apply when looking at some of these newer technologies. They're not new technologies at this point, but they're still newer. One is a perspective as a technologist, and in that case, we need to lead. From my point of view, as we reach investment points in our existing infrastructure, and we're about to reinvest, perhaps in our network, for example, that's something we have invested in the last year. We bear in mind some of these trends, and in the case of the network, we've made sure that we put in new technology that has higher capacity, higher resilience. And we're laying down a good, solid foundation. In terms of broader investments in the new technologies, we really want to be business-led on that. So, you know, I'm a strong believer that CIOs should have a technical background. They're more effective when they have a technical background, I believe. But as CIOs, we're first and foremost business leaders. And as we think about significant investments in these areas, we really want to think about business benefits, business impact, et cetera, either internally in terms of perhaps making our people more effective, or externally in terms of delivering more value to our customers, and also in the case of Avnet as a distributor to our partners, to our suppliers and partners as well.
So, Bill, when you look at the ecosystem of how IT delivers value and how the CIOs play a role in making all that happen, it seems like, well, Steve did make a point that there could be good value coming out of a CIO if they had a technical background. However, now what is also happening is they are expecting new roles to come up, which is Chief Digital Officer and Chief Data Officer. And that was happening because somewhere they felt there is a gap in what the CIO or his crew could bring to the table. And that's what they are creating, and which further dilutes what CIO can do or has an opportunity to create as a value. So given whatever investments we are expecting to make in the technology area, what should be happening in the role itself so that if CIO is going to do justice to these different new initiatives, Should they also morph their own role to incorporate these chief digital and chief data officers and also bring those skills in-house within the IT department in order for them to really create that value which will make them more important to the business?
Well, I think you're bringing up an important point. It's always nice to have, you know, that, let's say, technical advantage in-house with somebody that's familiar with your business practices, because like Steve was pointing out, it's all about the business and the impact on the business. But as you start looking at some of these technologies and the isolated functions that they're going to perform, you know, if you look at a digital officer and you say, okay, well, you know, can you put all of this under one, you know, one person, one entity type of thing, and having more of a matrix inside the IT organization or let's say technology organizations that are supporting the business becomes more of a need, right, depending upon the business, you know, whether or not they have to have, let's say, leading edge and they're in so many different, let's say, technical areas. So I think this is something that's going to evolve and, you know, that's going to be very much styled after what the business is capable of doing, what they want to go do, and then how they need to be supported. But I am always kind of promote, you know, bring, if you can afford it and it has the impact, you bring them inside. If you need some isolated or small, you know, information sets and that type of stuff, then bringing it through a third party is also a good, effective business manner or process.
So, Steve, if I were to ask you to spend your half day not thinking about IT, but where this business is going and where this group is, and look at it macro level, and just had to really think hard on how will you create more value at a macro level, what changes would you bring to the way you run technology, the way you adopt and embrace new computing paradigms, the way you automate and perhaps help innovate in processes and in people side? What all would you think at least ought to happen in 2015, and then you buckle up and just go for it?
Well, I've worked at Avnet now for about 9 years, and by the way, Bill previously worked at Avnet as well, so Bill knows the Avnet environment quite well. And I would say that one of the things that I think is just very strong about the Avnet culture is that as a leadership team, we work closely together. And we work closely together in helping the business to go forward. So actually, next month will be the start of our planning cycle for our next fiscal year. And what I'll be spending my time on is starting to engage with my business colleagues on the executive board. And we'll be the first starting point for our discussion is how do we take our business strategy currently is, and how do we adapt it for the changes that have happened in the market over the last year and look at the new challenges going forward. So I'll be starting to spend my time by hopefully contributing to, but certainly engaging in the business strategy definition. And as a company, we need to get that aligned. And then I'll be starting to work with my IT team, my senior IT leadership team. I'll be looking at what's our role as an IT team to play our part in helping us deliver on our business strategy. And at that point, we'll have some views around the new technologies and how they can help facilitate, et cetera, and help us to move faster towards profitable growth. But really, we'll be thinking more like business people and business leaders, and then we'll translate that into our IT goals for the year. And at that point, we start to engage more with the technologists and start to make sure we just lay down the right infrastructure, make the right investments, and take advantage of, from my point of view, all of the opportunities that these new technologies are bringing to the marketplace.
Steve, so on during a water cooler conversation, what is the business implying what they need from technology folks or from the department? What is their need? Because everything should then be centered around what the business wants, but not everything is articulated only in the ivory tower, but also what happens in the trenches.
I think there's a couple of general themes, I'd say. The first one is not really about the new technologies, but it's definitely an important theme. In our business of technology distribution, we just see the pace of change accelerating in terms of business models and competitiveness. And the broad theme that I would get from my colleagues would be, can we deliver with quality, but can we go faster? Because we need new capabilities to help to outgun the competition and to help keep our competitive position where we want to be. So that would be sort of the first comment. And then the second area would be, I think there's a great appetite around mobility enablement, because it helps folks out, both our employees as well as our customers, carry out work with Avnet while they're on the go and out of the office. And there's only goodness in that. And then secondly, I'd say there's also a strong appetite for big data and data analytics tools that are easy to use and give valuable business insights into how we're operating the business and inform our business decisions.
Now, in many of the discussions that I've facilitated over the years, in person and, of course, on this show, there have been an outcry regarding people, the way the people, the skills, the competencies, and the engagement level, and then the type of people that we would need in order to do justice to these new disruptions, or even what we were doing currently, there was an acute shortage. So we'll take a quick break, but when we come back, Bill, would love to have you share your thoughts on how can we work on this talent gap in a way where it is not an ongoing struggle, but essentially we give it a conscious thought and an effort and investment. So we kind of get over this hump. Please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
HP is proud to sponsor this program. Find out how the HP as a service solution for SAP HANA can help you gain instant, impactful business results without capital investment by logging on to HP.com. Transform information into intelligence and a competitive advantage with a full spectrum of SAP HANA products and services from HP, a global SAP hosting partner.
Bosch Software Innovations is proud to sponsor this program. Visit www.bosch-si.com/connected-manufacturing to find out how Bosch can help you improve your operational performance and become a manufacturing industry leader in a connected world. Change the way you predict, manage, and produce outcomes. Bosch Connected Manufacturing.
HP is proud to sponsor this program. Tap into our expertise, innovation, and services to bring your most important workloads to the cloud. You are listening to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjog All. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That number again is 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to the show. Here's Sunjog All.
So, Bill, people has been, the type of people we need, the number of people we need for different initiative has always been a chronic issue in technology. And now you want more newer type of skills getting in, infused into the organization, and with already an existing gap, this is going to just compound and it's going to seriously undermine what we plan to achieve. So is there some, do you see a light at the end of the tunnel? And if yes, how is that coming through?
Well, I think there's definitely a light at the end of the tunnel. I think when you look at the problem set, though, it's large. Every function within the business is dependent on IT, the technology, everything from, printing, ship papers in the warehouse, to processing purchase orders or whatever. So the IT function and what people think is, a strategic advantage is different in each different functional area. And so trying to get this prioritization, and then also to look at the people that are involved in this that can actually make the difference in the industry and from a competitive standpoint is so critical. But then on the on the other side of this whole thing is, you know, do you have technologists that understand both the business and then how to apply technology so that you can fix these business needs? And it's become very complex, you know, from that standpoint. So I think what's really important is the ability of IT to partner in with the businesses, align with the businesses, and then have people in their organization that can, you know, comprehend this and then apply it and help, let's say, lead the rest of the IT organization to fulfill those business needs and that whole, let's say, governance process, the budget process, and the alignment of thought, you know, like Steve was talking about in his previous discussion, you know, making sure that your goals are aligned with the business's goals and then you're able to address those things is really, really key in this next couple of years.
So, Steve, even Gartner says that talent is going to be the key to digital enterprises. And if you're going to be a leader in this digital world, not only technology talent is needed, but even business talent is needed. And both of them need to know each other's job pretty well and work together effectively. Now, that's not how we saw things earlier. So would you say you would change your people strategy working along with your executive management and see things differently to prepare for that 2020?
I think we've been – I'm going to build off some of Bill's points, which I just thought were just excellent just now. I'm going to build off some of those points because it's a topic that's been on our mind at Avnet for quite a few years now. And you know, what I think about IT specifically, it is ever-increasingly mission-critical and a source of competitive advantage for companies. It's probably more relevant than it ever has been before for many companies. We've also got these demographic shifts happening in the West. So we have an aging workforce. We have a shortage in STEM skills coming out of the university system. So we've done a few things at Avnet really to start to think about how do we more consciously manage our talent pipeline? How do we get the right talent into that pipeline in the first place? And then so separately, how do we give people a breadth of experience across the organization as well? So in the case of technologists, how do we give them business experience perhaps early on in their career so they can really get a good, deep understanding of the business as well as technology and IT? How can we take business leaders? Again, it's easier when it's earlier in their career. How can we give them experience of technology that they can apply as they go about their day, about their job as they go back into the business, et cetera? How can we give people, we're a global enterprise, how can we give people global experience so they understand all of the marketplaces that Avnet works in? So what we've done is we've introduced a talent management process. So every year we look at our employees' performance, we look at their potential, and we agree development plans to help address some of those talent gaps and make sure that we have the right pipeline of talent for the future. In addition to that, we have some formal mentoring programs we've introduced over the last couple of years. And we've also introduced some global leadership programs. They work at different levels in our organization, all of the enterprise, not just IT. And then we're really focusing them on developing personal leadership skills, but also the internal networking skills within the corporation as well to make sure that we don't just give people the hard skills, but we also help to build out their soft skills and their network within the corporation so they can be effective.
So when you look at, Bill, the answer that Steve provided, what would you think would be a way to get execution done effectively on this? Because, of course, that's a great intent, and Steve, I applaud you for kind of at least laying this out in such a clear manner. Devil sometimes is in an execution. What challenges do you expect we will be facing as we go about implementing some of those, Bill?
Yeah, I think Steve has a great program. I'm somewhat familiar with it, and I think he's done a really good job at developing that at Avnet. And but you know, as you start to look at the execution side of things, you know, everybody's, you know, has only so much time in the day, and I think it comes down to that: is how do you manage time, and that gets into, you know, individual kind of prioritization of what's going on with those guys inside the organization. And so being able to have at the executive level, as as Steve mentioned, you know, the prioritization that this is relevant, this is important, and you're investing in the future of not only individual but the company, because now your people are well educated, not just in the technology, the hard side of things, but in the soft side of things of how the business operates and who's doing what inside the business, so they can effectively and efficiently, you know, get to the right source of information, so that as they address, you know, IT business needs, right, they're going to the right source and addressing the problem in the most effective way. And I think, you know, Steve's done a good job of developing that thought and that process inside of Avnet. And I think that's going to be, you know, a good advantage for any company to kind of learn from that process.
So given the program that... Yes, go ahead,
Steve. Could I just build on Bill's comments just a little bit there? So I got two comments to make. One is, I thought Bill touched on something very important, which is senior leadership commitment to invest in and developing talent is key. We can't just play lip service to it. We have to really engage in it. And then the second comment is, it's a little obvious, but the acid test here of success actually is 5 years down the line, and whether in our case Avnet, in my case Avnet, we do have the right talent, and we're delivering our capabilities in a way that's sufficient for our business to grow. We have to commit, we have to do our best, but the real test is frankly 5, 6, 7 years down the line, when we see the talent that we've invested in come through and hopefully become the leaders of the future of the corporation.
So with that, I'd like to go back to Internet of Things, which, Steve, you mentioned that is one of the areas that you plan to embark on a journey. And to that, well, that's an agenda item. So how do you plan to attack it? Because as it requires a brand new stack and you needed people, processes, and the way the technology is going to be added, how are you attacking it? And do you think that is something which you are building a 2020 plan for, or are you going to... dip your toe in the water to see if really it's going to make sense? Is it a strategic capability development initiative, or this is like you got some play money which you would like to put in?
I think it's going to become a major driver of value for many corporations. I can give you an example if you'd like of we dipped our toe in the water, so as to say, last year. And we made some investment in a very practical application for Internet of Things. If perhaps I could take you through that example, and
please.
And we are very pleased with the results, and it's sort of given us the appetite to look for more opportunities. So we've really focused on using the Internet of Things within IT so far. So for example, in our largest data center, we run a global data center. We have a number of smaller data centers around the world, but our very largest one. We've deployed dozens of temperature sensors across the layer of the data center, and its outputs are analyzed and allow us to make constant adjustments so we don't waste energy by overcooling the data center. So I like to think of it as Nest for the data center. We've also deployed a remote environmental monitoring tool. So this uses our network to monitor core infrastructure components that are on our network but not within our data centers. Things like uninterruptible power supplies, generators, cooling systems, etc. And these sensors allow us to detect performance degradation, and then we take preventative measures before that particular system component fails in any way. And in our minds, we're just scratching the surface there. In a very narrow IT-centered view of the world, the Internet of Things allows us to remotely monitor our IT environments and all of our facilities, actually, whether IT-related or not, at a level of detail and on a scale that we simply couldn't do before. And it just gives us the opportunity to improve reliability and to optimize in our case, our energy consumption very carefully indeed.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back and talk about our favorite subject, security. All of us are talking about it. Many, many conversations have happened. Still, this doesn't go away, and to some extent, I would not say it is paralyzing, but if it is becoming a forethought as a way to create value, I would say on one hand, it seems like a problem, but on the other hand, is it's also a wake-up call that we should have done that in the first place so that we create enterprise value, but also keep the enterprise secure. How are we addressing it today, and what are our plans for 2015? Let's explore that when we come back. Please stay tuned.
HP is proud to sponsor this program. Tap into our expertise, innovation, and services to bring your most important workloads to the cloud.
Bosch Software Innovations is proud to sponsor this program. Visit www.bosch-si.com/connected-manufacturing to find out how Bosch can help you improve your operational performance and become a manufacturing industry leader in a connected world. Change the way you predict, manage, and produce outcomes. Bosch Connected Manufacturing.
HP is proud to sponsor this program. Find out how the HP as a service solution for SAP HANA can help you gain instant, impactful business results without capital investment by logging on to HP.com. Transform information into intelligence and a competitive advantage with a full spectrum of SAP HANA products and services from HP, a global SAP hosting partner. You are listening to CIO Talk Radio with Sun Jog All. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That number again is 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to the show. Here's Sun Jog All.
Welcome back. So, Bill, regarding security, we are saying that we want to be secure, and at the same time, and we are working hard, investing towards it, but it seems like thieves are ahead of the cops, and it seems like we are not able to get a complete grasp on the landscape, and or what do we need to do to finally say that we can sleep at night knowing that we will not be waking up tomorrow with a leak which will bring us down as a business.
Yeah, I think the security of things is going to be, you know, one of those things that is not going to, let's say, go away in the next few years. It's developed into a concern, and over the last, you know, couple of decades, you know, and what's kind of gone on is it from my standpoint was that it gets back to some of the architectural theories and stuff like this that IT has evolved with. And where, you know, a lot of systems, a lot of applications are now inherited. And as you're trying to build these bigger, more robust solutions that are integrated and that tie to other things, and, you know, when you start looking at the Internet of Things, it's just going to be that much more vast. It's a concern because a lot of people want to have an open architecture. They want to have, you know, access points and this and that. And multi-purpose type functionality in their interfaces, well, that exposes a lot of risk to the corporation. And so as you move forward, we need to be concerned about as we bring new tools in or we bring in apps or we inherit, you know, even sensors and this and that, there has to be a concern that says, how do we isolate those things to make sure that that doesn't expose us as a corporation, as a business, you know, in ways that we hadn't thought of. And we're seeing a lot of that in the press, you know, just in the recent couple of years where it's not just somebody hacking directly into your data center. They're hacking into endpoints and the exposure there. And now when you're starting to talk about the Internet of Things, it's just that much more. And so I think we as an industry have to start looking at this and hold more accountable, let's say, the products that are being introduced and how they're being introduced into the industry so that they can be effectively applied to a business without creating a whole bunch of risk.
What kind of conversations, Steve, are you having with people inside your organization, including the management, with your partner ecosystem, and with the folks outside in your technology and business community? What all is being tried, and what are they planning to do, and how is that impacting what are you going to do with your organization with respect to security?
There's one dialogue that we've been having for quite some time, and there's another one that I think is forming, and I think it's forming across our industry in general. So first of all, we have a constant dialogue around how do we secure our information assets. So how do we, you know, only allow access to the people that we want to have access to that information? But maybe to Bill's point, in a world of open source, bring your own device, less direct control over the end user devices, we are making trade-offs. We're making trade-offs in terms of ease of doing business and productivity of our people versus absolute security of our information assets. So we want to have a conscious discussion with our partners internally as well as externally around that, about what are the right trade-offs to make there. Where we're taking the dialogue internally is accepting that the probability is there will be security breaches at some point, and we need to be prepared for that. And so we have a dialogue around how do we monitor for that. If it does happen, how do we contain it as quickly as possible, identify and contain it, and then how do we manage the aftermath of a breach? So, for example, last month we carried out our annual data breach drill, and there were two aspects of it. We brought a third party in, we simulated a data breach, and we had a technology thread to it, which was about the technology team monitoring and handling the breach. And then we also had a more of a communications theme, which involved our CEO and many of our executive board members, where we talked about what is the communication if there's a breach internally and externally. How do we manage that? What do we tell the outside world? What do we disclose? How do we manage the folks that have perhaps been affected by the data breach, et cetera? And that kind of drill, it doesn't answer all the questions, and it doesn't mean that you'll be able to handle a real breach effectively, but it should improve the odds of you managing a breach effectively. And I'm not sure about you, but I'd rather practice in a drill situation than learn on the job in a real situation.
So, Bill, when you look at what is happening at Arrow and otherwise in the industry, do you see people are taking actionable steps to counter this, or this is going to be an ongoing struggle, and we do not know where this is going to go? So is there any comforting news, or is it something which is going to be the top of mind challenge, a chronic one in 2015, which we'll just have to grapple with?
Well, I think, awareness is key. And if you looked at this, 10 years ago, and you looked at the security departments and a lot of corporations, especially from a technology standpoint, there wasn't a major focus. Now, the investment, on security, the technology of stuff is just phenomenal, right? Where you're doubling the investment in that area. So I think awareness is the first thing. And I think what, Steve's doing with the drills and being prepared, up front, because there's so many different risks that from an IT organization or from a business that you're encountering every day, at some point, there's going to be threats, and hopefully, the business is got enough, let's say layers or protection that it doesn't impact them, but it probably won't, at some point, if there's enough focus on that particular business from somebody who's threatening them. So I think what Steve's doing is really valid, is to say, okay, listen, I can't be prepared for everything, but, I'll certainly be way ahead of the game and being able to understand how I should respond. But I think this concern is going to be around for a number of years, and I think it's going to have to be, a different culture, a different attitude towards it, and the investment is certainly growing. So I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel, but I think it's going to take some time to recover, let's say, from, let's say how we evolved to this point.
3D printing. Steve, do you think that's something which you are contemplating utilizing in your organization for anything?
We're not at the moment. It's an area, though, where I think many of us, our manufacturing and integration team and my team, that we're keeping an eye on. So because it potentially has the chance to transform the supply chain, doesn't it? In terms of rather than having to keep, particularly if you think about sort of small type components, perhaps more metal components or plastic components, it potentially removes the need for large amounts of inventory as staged across the world to fulfill our customers' needs. This allows us potentially to sort of print on demand some of those components. And I think that's very interesting. I think it's still developing as a marketplace. But we can see folks like HP now starting to come out with some production-ready printing machines. And I think it's just something to watch closely in 2015.
So while it's cool, you're saying that is it cost prohibitive, or the machines are producing components that are not up to the specs? Where is the quality an issue, a cost issue, or what is the issue? Because it looks like a no-brainer for a manufacturer to take this on.
I don't think it's quite fully production ready just yet. That's my opinion, by the way. I'm sure there's some folks that would have a different view. But I think the machines, the printers are still expensive. They still, some of the standards and the form factor still seem to be forming from my point of view. So for us, it would be one that we would watch closely. I could imagine for different businesses, they would already be starting to invest and getting some experience in some of these areas.
Yeah, so Bill and at Arrow, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Arrow should be doing something about this, right?
I wouldn't know from an Arrow standpoint how they're applying it. I mean, we've looked at a couple of the machines, but you know, some of the thought is about in research and first articles, build type things, prototype builds. Those are the areas that I think we may see the first, let's say, introductions of this technology. Because as you're starting to look at a manufacturing line and you need to build, you know, a frame or whatever, it's great to be able to readily build something and come back with a structure and be able to essentially look at it from a physical standpoint, have it physically in front of you instead of just from a CAD drawing, so that they can start, let's say, you know, making sure they're finalizing their design and get to a first article faster, you know, in the manufacturing process. So there is some of that discussion going on, and I've seen some of the results of some of the prints, and it's very interesting. It'll be more interesting to see how it's actually applied. I think it's mostly going to kind of be introduced through the first article R&D type process.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back, and let's come back to the people side, but more a culture. So we want to be innovative. We want to make an organization secure. We want us to create value more than ever. So if I were to say, if I had to create a blueprint for an enterprise culture, which incorporates both business and technology individuals working with as a culture, what would that look like? So when we come back, Steve, would love to get your thoughts on a cultural blueprint for 2015, which would effectively help on all those different elements that I just discussed, which is creativity, value creation, secure organization, and innovation. Please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
Bosch Software Innovations is proud to sponsor this program. Visit www.bosch-si.com/connected-manufacturing to find out how Bosch can help you improve your operational performance and become a manufacturing industry leader in a connected world. Change the way you predict, manage, and produce outcomes. Bosch Connected Manufacturing.
HP is proud to sponsor this program. Tap into our expertise, innovation, and services to bring your most important workloads to the cloud. HP is proud to sponsor this program. Find out how the HP as a service solution for SAP HANA can help you gain instant, impactful business results without capital investment by logging on to HP.com. Transform information into intelligence and a competitive advantage with a full spectrum of SAP HANA products and services from HP, a global SAP hosting partner. You are listening to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjog All. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That number again is 1-866-472-5790. Now, back to the show. Here's Sunjog All.
Welcome back. So, Steve, let's talk culture. Would you be the old-style, everybody suited blue and navy blue suits, or would you be coming in shorts? But that's more the attire, but a reflection on the type of culture you would like to see, which will allow you to be funky yet secure. What would you like?
We're Avnet. Avnet has been a listed company for about 50 years. We have about 19,000 people across the world. So we're an established enterprise, I'd say. I wouldn't say we're conservative, though. So what we think is important is, in terms of the culture, you have to have a culture that engages your employees, that's very customer focused, and one that, from my point of view as a leader, is consistent as well. So consistency is important, customer orientation is important, and engaging for employees so they can have good long term careers at Avnet and be successful in what they do. So culturally, though, we do see some shifts coming in. We see partly some of the new ways of working that coming in from the Generation Y employees that are in the workplace now. We see some of the new technologies that we've been talking about here that are changing the workplace as well. And what we see is particularly with the Gen Y folks who are now making up a significant proportion of the workers at many enterprises, not just Avnet. They're bringing with them some ways of working that we need to embrace. So I would say they have a strong emphasis on teamwork and collaboration. They view work as something that you do rather than somewhere that you go. Many have a global perspective. And of course, like every generation, they're ambitious and they're willing to take on risk. So as leaders, we need to make sure that we're providing an engaging culture and an environment that supports those ways of working. We need to provide choice and flexibility on where people work and what devices they use to carry out their online work, for example. And then we touched on an important topic earlier on, and it's very important for culture because culture comes from the top. And something we've placed quite some emphasis on over the last few years is how do we manage our talent pipeline thoughtfully and invest in developing that talent and make sure we've got leaders that reflect the culture that we want to have at Avnet. And that's a productive culture that, as I say, engages with our employees, et cetera. So we've introduced some leadership programs that I mentioned earlier on, our talent review program and mentoring. And it's all around helping us to make sure that we're evolving our culture to suit today's marketplace, but also provide consistency in the terms of the customer orientation and a good, productive workplace for our employees.
Now, Bill, when you look at the way our culture is getting developed, what are the expectations that these people, again, I go back to the water cooler conversations and or implied expectations of people within business and IT, so that if that type of culture, the coveted type of culture is created, then they would be in the best position to give back to the business what the business needs, which is innovation, security, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think Steve's making some good points on the Generation Y and that type of stuff. I think I know at Arrow they're creating environmental changes to the workplace. You know, putting in more collaborative workspaces and little side meeting rooms and stuff like that that are very kind of current generation type of environments, which is kind of interesting because you have a mix of older, you know, work environments and newer work environments, and that's from a physical perspective. And then when you start looking at the individuals, you know, there's difference in you know, let's say attitudes. And I think Steve pointed to one, you know, that, you know, essentially, you know, people are, they're, it's not all about work. You know, work is something that they do to earn money, and then they have a social perspective to the whole thing, and that especially goes to outside of work. That has, and in the past, you'd see, let's say, with my generation or whatever, you know, that you develop friends at work, and they develop over years, and that was your main, you know, social environment. Now these guys, you know, they keep their old high school friends, they keep their old elementary friends, and so it's quite a different thing. But I think one of the cultures that we need to kind of look at is that it's like diversity in thought. You know, when you start looking at some of the technologists and the way people, let's say, evolve, let's say in society in general, you know, they're all not the same type of person and personality. And so, you know, you want some of those, you know, let's say technologists that may not be introverts, you know, or extroverts, you want to be able to bring those type of people in and have an effective organization, let their ideas float to the top, and so that they're effective and they're actually adding into the, you know, environment of the business. And I think the diversity in thought and developing that we haven't done enough with, and but there's, you know, an untapped, you know, reservoir of new ideas, you know, and innovations and stuff like this. And if you look at some of the more, let's say, leading edge companies in thought, let's say it's Google or whatever, you know, they seem to promote that type of an environment. So
Steve, when you look at the leaders themselves, including yourself, what do you think new and different now? So if you're saying, okay, 2015 is just around the corner. We did what we did. You look back, hindsight is 2020. Now you're going to go into some new initiatives and you want to achieve more, better, and create higher level of value. As a leader, are you thinking of making some specific changes in your psyche, in your emotional intelligence, in the way you approach a problem for you to be more effective as a leader? And what would you suggest to other leaders who may be listening to this?
I think, first of all, I think part of being a CIO and a senior IT leader is always being open on change, always being open on the fact that technologies are shifting. By the way, if I could just go back a little bit to Bill's comment there, just something on my mind. As CIOs, we can focus a lot on technology, focus a lot on hardware, software, the very best solutions, the best architectures. But something I always admired about Bill when he worked at Avnet was the focus you have on developing your people, because people are the thing that make the real difference. So when I think about looking forward, I think about being open on the new technologies and looking at them from the lens of how can they deliver business value, how can you make, as you mentioned earlier on, make some small bets in some areas that are interesting, but you can't quite see the return on investment for a larger investment at this point. Some areas where you can see it's prime time to make the investment. So being open on new technologies and investing in them appropriately. And then secondly, also just being open on engaging with your team, developing them, listening to them, and making sure you provide them just a very sort of collaborative and productive workplace.
So, Bill, what would you have as an advice for the fellow leaders for the next year? What should they be doing new, different, or more?
Well, first off, I want to thank Steve for his comment. But I think, you know, one thing is you can never do enough of is partner with the business. And then the second thing would be to is your people, the culture, you know, providing an environment where they can, you know, constructively, you know, solve problems and, you know, deliver solutions to the business. And then I think the third thing is being able to rationalize your expenditures, you know, against your projects and the deliverables of sustaining a, you know, a viable environment, you know, security and all those things and normal support, but also be able to have the resources, you know, the money, the, you know, the products and people to be able to deliver to the business so that you do have that competitive advantage through IT. And I think it's critical that IT really provide a competitive advantage because it's in every space of the work, you know, environment. So it performs processes and stuff like that, supports the organization. And so I think that's critical to have those three elements so that you can have an effective IT organization and deliver solutions to the business.
30 seconds. Any final words of wisdom, Steve, for your fellow CIOs?
I would offer just in 2015, but as always, make sure you're engaging with your business colleagues. Have the mindset of being a business leader first and a technologist second.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, thank you so much both, Steve and Bill, for sharing your thoughts on the 2015 CIO Agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again. And please like us on Facebook. Listeners, hope you enjoyed the discussion today and search for CIO Talk Radio. And be sure to follow us on Twitter. And don't forget to sign up for our monthly newsletter so that we can keep bringing to you the words of wisdom from leaders like Steve and Bill on an ongoing basis. And thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Please join Sanjog All next Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Central Time, and 10 a.m. Eastern Time for another hour of CIO Talk Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by HP and Bosch Software Innovations.